That'll be my thing. Okay, never mind.
If it doesn't.
It's great that you're gay and you're proud and you like to swing your wang around and all that jazz.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart.
You're sexy and tattooed and delicious.
And Larry Mead.
Hey guys, that's awesome. Awesome, guys. Let's go. Awesome. Let's go get some new sneakers.
Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch,
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Here's Nate.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. I am The Nate Darling. With me is The Mel Gelbart and The Larry Mead.
Hi, bitches.
My sound is weird. I can't hear you
guys.
Yeah,
my tooth is a little quiet.
Hold on.
I feel left out.
Don't be sad. Oh, that's better.
Can you hear me now, Mel?
Oh, girl, you're loud now.
No, I can hear music, but I don't hear you guys.
You can't hear me.
I can't hear you.
Wow. Maybe you just have selective hearing.
Could be.
Mel's tuning out men.
Well, I hear the music, so if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
Everything's fine.
Good enough for me.
Everything's both fine and dandy. Coming up this week, I went on vacation, so we've got tales from that.
We missed you. It was weird.
It was strange, and of
you
course...
Now I can't... It's weird.
And of course, you can turn it up on your cord there, Larry. But, yeah, and we haven't seen Larry in even longer because he had some issues when we recorded our last two shows.
I had explosive diarrhea.
Mm-hmm. We know.
That's the worst.
Coming up, we debut Gay Corner. We got some gay stories for you.
I love gays.
We got gay.
Why are your cats so crazy? They're kind of scaring me.
Well, because I was gone for 10 days and...
Where were they? Were they here?
Yeah, they were here. People stopped by and watched them, but they're kittens. They're still like 6.5 months old, so they run around and do kitten things. And they slept all day, and now they've got let's get our noses into everything energy. That's what they do. This morning... This morning, Hef... gave me a gift.
He did?
He did.
Was it a new car?
I wish. See, I had been reading up on cat behavior because Hef had some behavioral issues for a while. And I was reading about... somebody wrote a question, somebody like, my cat keeps dropping stuff in their water dish. Why do they do that? And the answer was because they will quite often... not only kill something, they'll make sure by drowning it if they've got a puddle of water or something like that. So if they are, in fact, when they're doing that, that's just showing their hunting skills. So this morning, Hef went out and killed a sock of mine that I took a pair of socks out of my dresser and I put them on my bed because I walk around barefoot. I don't walk around in socks normally, like first thing in the morning, because I like to... You know, if you're getting breakfast ready, you spill a little water on the floor. You don't want to get water on your socks because that just sucks. So I'm sitting on the floor in front of the couch where I'm sitting now, and I'm wrapping up my breakfast. And all of a sudden, I feel something wet, like drop behind my shoulder. And he had taken one of my socks, drowned it in his water dish, carried it out through from the bathroom through the bedroom, up onto the couch, and dropped it for me.
He wanted to show you what he killed.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, hey, man, thanks a lot. Please don't do that ever again.
My
Why does your cat have gray hair? Don't touch me.
I don't know that that's gray. I think he's got a few white hairs
don't
in with his
me.
Black.
My brother's dogs just steal socks. Like, I think they think they're like their toys. So if you cannot
right.
leave socks out because they'll just take them and run.
Yeah. Well, this was weird because I've not had this happen before. I was just... And I was like 5 minutes away from putting my socks on. And I'm like, oh, great. Thanks.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, cats do weird things.
Cats are weird.
They can be. But
can you go away, cat?
But they're fun. Hey, Hef, come over here. Come
just
here, buddy.
Look over there.
Come on.
Bye.
There we go.
I'm afraid it's going to attack me.
He's not going to attack you.
They're so gentle. You can't believe they're going to attack you.
You never know.
You are silly.
I'm pretty sure you'd survive any attack they have to offer.
No, I might go into an allergy attack and die.
Oh, that's true. You are allergic. So, Larry, what have you been up to since the last time we saw you? I know there's been quite a few things.
Oh wow. Lots of things. I traveled a little bit. I was in L.A. and San Diego and Palm Springs.
Yeah, I want to talk about your burger experience, by the way.
Oh, my God. Okay, so in San Diego, first of all, I love San Diego a lot.
I
know
do
everyone
too.
Does. Like, it's so nice.
I haven't been yet.
It's like San Francisco if you cleaned it up really well, put nice weather there, got rid of lots of angry people, and made it hotter. Because the amount of hot men in San Diego is astronomical because of all the military dudes. And I love, like, clean-cut military dudes who've gained a little bit of weight. Like, that's my hello. So when we were out, it was crazy. And bitches kept hitting on me. I was like, hey, girl. which made Adam laugh. So I ate at a restaurant called 5050. And they are known for a hamburger that is 50% ground sirloin, 50% ground bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
It truly took hamburgers to another level. Because it wasn't just like bacon made that they put into a hamburger. It's bacon ground up, mixed with ground sirloin, put together in a patty and grilled. Oh my freaking goodness.
Yeah, I'd actually heard about that before from Michael Bergman, who's the voice that you hear at the beginning of our show. He told me about it, that there's a place that does that. I think it may be the same chain, but they're in Anaheim,
yes.
Somewhere in Orange
County.
There's
three of them. Yeah.
So he had told me about that, and I'm like, I don't know. That sounds like it might be a bit much.
It really wasn't. And our waitress said the same thing. Like, once you have a hamburger after that, it's a little bit disappointing because it's so flavorful, and it's not overly salty, and it's not overly... It tastes wonderful, but it doesn't taste like greasy or as indulgent as you think it would. That's because it's ground bacon, like... more like this. I think it's really ground pork belly. Mm-hmm. And so it's so good.
And I love that you could put whatever you wanted on it.
Yeah,
to
you could make it. There was like all these things you picked from, and then you named it. And mine was the Little Butch Unicorn Burger.
What?
And the waitress said that was the best name she'd heard in quite some time. And they put the knife in it, and it looked like a unicorn. And she announced it, which I thought was fun.
Because she wanted a big tip.
It worked. Yeah. Well, and then even in there, so
it worked.
What's funny is it's in Liberty Station, which, if you know San Diego, is where the Naval Warfare Center Training Center used to be. And that's where my office used to be before they moved up to Sacramento. And I was like, God, why can't we be here? I mean, I like Sacramento, but San Diego is just beautiful. And so it was so good. I can't even describe. I got baby greens, an egg, asparagus, and Swiss cheese on it.
And Baconaise, as I recall.
Yes, Baconaise on the side.
Can you tell I've been sort of fantasizing about your experience?
And to put this all in perspective, this Larry is describing this in great detail as the greatest thing ever. You also went sailing. So
yeah, I love sailing.
So the bacon burger was better than sailing.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It was incredible. And so Adam, I was down there, and Adam flew in, so I picked him up, and I was like, okay, I know where we're going for dinner. We're going here. He's like, okay. But yeah, and then Saturday we went sailing, and it was incredible. And I actually do a pretty decent job, which makes me happy. I didn't hit anything, and I had to go around this buoy thing. It was a little scary. But so the boat we were in was nice. It was like, so I'm like, how much is this? And the dude was like, like $400,000 or $500,000. So I looked over, and boats are very expensive, but literally there was a sailboat that he said pushes $6 million. It was nice. But if I'm paying $6 million for a boat, A, I want a yacht because I don't want to be doing that much work. Sailing is hard. But, like, I was just like, my MFNG. That's expensive. But I got a nice color and super fun. I spotted a porpoise, this huge porpoise that looks like they're huge. Imagine just a big dolphin that's bright white. And it was swimming behind us, and it was kind of in our wake, for lack of a better word. And I looked over and I was like, hey, y'all, look down there. And literally it swam right under because then it started jumping. That was insane.
Wow.
It was so nice. Like, sailing is one of the most relaxing things ever.
Mm.
You know what it makes? I don't know why I'm making this connection, but the beauty of that and stuff. Have you guys seen the trailer for this new movie coming out called Life of Pi?
I have not.
Watch it. It's an Ang Lee movie, and it just looks amazing. But there's a scene where he's sort of dabbling his fingers in the water, and the phosphorescent algae or whatever is shining.
Ooh.
And then a whale comes up out of the water and sort of goes over him.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, I want to see it.
It looks really good. I don't think Paul will go. I think it's going to be too chick flicky for
him.
Oh,
we can go. We can have a date.
I would love that.
I love dates. We really don't have dates. We need to have dates.
I would love that. You never take me anywhere.
I'm sorry. Speaking of, on Sunday we went to the zoo and we saw pandas, and they were crazy. the people, zookeepers were freaking out because they were so active.
Okay, what's with this music?
It's Sailing by Christopher Cross.
I know that, but oh my gosh, sleepy. It's so old and cheesy.
I love pandas.
Well, I don't know. There's not a lot of great sailing songs. Sorry.
You're so cute.
He was talking about sailing.
Sailing. That makes me laugh.
But the pandas are crazy. They were so active, the zoo people were freaking out a little bit. And my is that they were mourning because the day before, one of the panda cubs in D.C. died. But the panda, I have it on my other phone. I've never seen pandas this active.
So like, they went to Panda Facebook and found out that there was this to be mournful
pandas
over?
Pandas have, like, a seventh or eighth sense.
It's the panda network.
Sure.
Because they were, like, walking around, and then, no joke, the one panda kind of stopped and, like, laid back and was just, like, posing. I'm not even joking. You should see my pictures. It was, like, posing. Then he was eating. And he, like, because usually when you go see pandas, people get a little sad because all they do is lay around. They're part of the reason they're in danger is they're not very aggressive animals. So they just get... They don't have lots of space.
The other thing I have to tell you right now, because it's making me think of it, is when I start going on and on about something that's sort of not what Paul would consider butch or manly, he starts calling me Mulary.
Oh, my.
What?
I know, and I'm like, oh, my God, and Glee was so good this week, and I start telling him about all the characters. He's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Mulary. And then he just walks away.
Unacceptable. I'm so butch. So, I fed a giraffe, and I didn't let it eat my hand.
Fun, right?
Yeah, that's butch. That there's nothing more butch than that.
Have you had a giraffe tongue around your hand? It's a little scary.
I have. I've fed a giraffe.
Right?
It's weird. It's really scary and
they
fun.
They go like this and they take it.
Did you feel butch after you did it?
I did. I felt really, really butch. My brother, so when we were little, was feeding the giraffe and we all looked over and my mom started screaming because the giraffe had him up to the shoulder.
It's scary.
Yeah.
They're big animals. They have big wieners.
All right.
Not like, oh my gosh, help me out here. In the water, it's not a manatee, it's a
sea lion?
No, god damn it. I'm
platypus?
So, no.
Porpoise?
No, bigger. Walrus. Have you seen a walrus cock? Oh my god.
No, I don't go to the zoo to scope out animal cocks.
I was at Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, I believe, and they have like one of those things where you can go right up to the glass and the glass is up to the water, so if they're swimming, you can see them. And this guy was horny and felt like showing off. So he was up at the glass, erect cock, and just sitting there with it. Hot. And then one of the women walruses came by and he had her on his lap and was like bouncing her.
Walrus lap?
It was, yeah, that's he bent forward to like make a lap and then he had her on. And the parents were like hustling their kids awake. I mean, it was the biggest thing ever.
Animals have sex. That's how they reproduce.
Yeah, that's how we have more animals. That's how it works.
It was awesome to me, but the parents were really traumatized.
If no one would find out, would you want to get fucked by a walrus?
No, I don't think I could take it.
Oh, really?
I've had big regular penis, and I don't.
What happens
that.
If you? What happens if like it was a smaller walrus?
A smaller walrus.
I don't know that.
That's hard to say. Say smaller.
I don't know that
walrus.
I'm turned on by walrus.
I did.
This is.
Yeah, I mean,
really? I think I'd have to pass. I mean, unless
you fuck a walrus for $1 million?
A smaller walrus.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to put on a wetsuit and get in the pool and then just fuck you.
I think it would do internal damage, frankly. I don't know that I would risk my life for money.
You could just use a lot of...
Am I being too practical about this?
Because I'm asking if you fuck a walrus and you're concerned that your vagina cavity is going to get ripped to shreds.
Well, I'm Jewish. If there's enough money, I'll consider anything, but I don't want to get my vagina broken.
Would you fist a walrus?
Would I fist the walrus?
Yeah.
Would I put my fist inside of a walrus?
Yeah.
Sure. That's for money.
Well, shit, I'm transferring my account right now, girl.
It wouldn't work the other way around because walrus don't have fists. They've got flippers.
You could tusk me. Ooh.
Hey, Larry's got a new iPhone. Did you know that?
Woo woo.
How?
I made the jump.
I still have my flip phone.
I know.
And I don't text.
It's cheaper that way.
It was hard because I had a first generation Evo, which I loved, but the new Evo I don't like as much. And the things I loved about my Evo were my camera, because that camera was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the iPhone now basically has the same camera as the Evo, and it has FaceTime, which my parents have iPhones. My boyfriend has an iPhone. My best friend has an iPhone. And so I can FaceTime, which is really what I want to do, and really is incredible.
And what does this mean? It's basically you're Skyping?
Yeah, but all you need to do is press a button and you can do it anywhere. You don't need to be, and with the new phone, you don't need to be on Wi-Fi. So like at work, I can FaceTime Adam, which is great. And I have to say the picture has...
Is it really FaceTime when you do it with him, or is it more cock time?
No, it's FaceTime. True story. Okay, so I FaceTimed my mom, and she, you know, she thought it was fun.
You don't want to hit the wrong button and cock time your mom.
No, but I would like to read you the text my mom sent after we FaceTime. So it's like 20 minutes later, I'm going to text my mom. Here it is. Promise me that you won't do anything vulgar or embarrassing with FaceTime that could wind up in the news or cost you your job. Think first of the consequences. And then I wrote, LM, like, laughing my ass off. And she wrote, laugh all you want, but promise me anyway.
Aw, that's a good mommy.
I was like, thanks, Mom.
But too late.
It is pretty cool. And because of the cloud, all of my iTunes music are on my phone if I want them, which is kind of neat. And the camera, you can do, like, do you know how most phones, when you take a picture with it, you have to wait until it resets?
Yeah.
This one, you literally can just press it. So, like, if you're someplace where you're trying to take pictures, it can take, like, 80 pictures in a second. And it also can do panorama shots. So if you're someplace and take a picture, it'll automatically put them all together.
Nice. And because it's got iTunes, you can listen to this show.
Yeah, I actually have it comes with a podcast button.
Yeah, they've changed iTunes a little bit for native Apple devices so that podcasts are separate from iTunes a little bit. So there's that. And by the way, if you've got a mobile phone that isn't an iPhone and you still would like to listen to us, you can get us on the Stitcher mobile app, us and other great podcasts. It's pretty cool. You can download it at Stitcher.com or hit the App Store. And you can even get Stitcher for your iPhone if you want. I don't know why you would, but you can.
Oh, sweet.
You can.
I don't have any apps.
Something else happened when we were gone is Mel and I were on another podcast.
It's what? True.
The top 10 podcast of best high school
angry.
Movies. And some of the choices that were on there, first of all, I tied and won, which was exciting. For those of you who don't know, top 10 is a podcast where there's a topic and all the guests try to create a list of the top 10. Everyone comes up with their own 10 and you have this sort of game to figure out who gets on there. I tied for first, which is the first time and exciting. But of the top 10 high school movies of all time, Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles were not on the final list.
And for the record, congratulations, but most of the audience came up to me afterwards and said I got robbed and they were horrified that more of my list didn't make it on. That people seemed to be going for competitive and not for a good list.
What was the number one movie on the high school list if Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles did not make it?
That's a great question.
I honestly do not remember. It's been 2 weeks.
Was it Fast Time? Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
I don't even know if that lasted on the list.
Oh, for Tiffany Schultz.
It was on my list number two, by the way.
Tiffany Schultz took off Pretty in Pink.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I think that lasted, which was on my list.
Hoosiers was on there. Fame made it.
Oh.
Fame.
Grease.
Fame.
Yeah. Which actually ended up...
I was so mad.
Yeah, you want to? I have a story about it.
Heather's got bumped.
That's bullshit. I was at JFK Airport in New York, and I'm sitting in the terminal because I had a 3-hour layover coming back. And I'm sitting there, and I all of a sudden I hear the theme song to the TV show Fame. I'm like, oh my god. Like, and the song is way longer than I remembered, or at least it seemed way longer than I remembered.
It's a long song.
That's so, hilarious.
Yeah, it was crazy. Mel, what have you been up to?
You know, not a lot. I've been really relaxing. We finished the comedy festival, which was super fun, and the rap party was fun. And it was really funny, and maybe I shouldn't tell the story because I don't know who listens, but whatever. But there was a guy there that I sort of felt was hitting me at the rap party. Now, Paul didn't go to the party. He left after the shows. And I went to the party, and this guy was like being very touchy and kept saying he wanted to buy me a drink and being very friendly. And then we're sitting there talking and he said, do you have kids? And I said, no, my boyfriend had a vasectomy, so we don't have any children. And he didn't even say a word. He just got up and left and didn't speak to me again. All I had to say was my boyfriend, and that solved
That's
the problem.
Creepy.
It was weird.
By the way, if a guy you don't know well as a friend offers to buy you a drink, yes, he's hitting on you,
right? Well, the problem
say yes,
is,
thank you for the drink.
And again, this is, I'm not going to even say my follow-up, never mind. It was going to be mean.
what?
I didn't think he was hitting on me because I didn't think he was into me.
He was gay? What made you think he was gay? He had a cock in his mouth?
Yes. He set off my gaydar, I guess.
Mm. You know, it's really funny. I can hear somebody, I believe my upstairs neighbor vacuuming. You can't hear it on the microphones, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's vacuuming.
I hear it. Oh, the other thing is I peed on my hand today by accident.
What? How did that happen? You forgot where your hand was?
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm finishing up my monthly cycle.
Okay.
And one of the things, you know, like, I don't know, guys, probably you would never even think of this. Like, I don't know who would think of this, but when you go to the bathroom and you're having your period, you do not want to pee on the string from your tampon, because then it gets wet and now you have like a wet urine soaked thing in your panties, and it's disgusting,
and it's a wick too, so
yeah, it's gross.
Yeah,
so
no argument.
I tend to just sort of, the string is like hanging, I tend to just sort of move it out of the way, go to the bathroom, wipe, and then let it free again. Well, I guess I had to go so bad that I didn't have the control I thought, so I went to move it and just the pee started coming and I peed on my hand.
Oh, okay.
And then I was just sort of horrified. I mean, you pee on your hand, it happens, but I just was horrified because then I thought, like, how do I finish going to the bathroom, because I can't touch my hand to me or to my pants or to anything, so I had to finish like all gimpy one-handed.
Can I ask you a lady business question?
Sure.
When you're showering with your gentleman friend,
yes,
do you pee in the shower?
Not when I'm with someone, anybody in the shower.
No.
I mean, if when
really?
I when I was at the police academy and it was like a big room and there was three women in there, we're all showering at the same time, I don't pee in front of other people. I think it's gross and rude, but when I'm in the shower
no.
alone, if I have to go, I'll go.
Oh, I didn't know.
Now the other day,
boys are really
and again,
different about that, so
I say stuff with you guys that I don't, you guys bring the worst out of me. The other day, Paul and I were going to shower, and as he was in the shower and I was getting ready to step in the shower, he was like, I'm peeing, by the way. And then I felt obligated to wait for a minute to let it like wash down the drain before I stepped in the shower.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know. Like it matters if I step in his pee.
Well,
it doesn't.
You know, I think the thing is, if you would have been in there, it's different than, because you feel like you're walking in on somebody if you do that. It's really just sort of that weird politeness thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I'm not like scared of his pee or whatever, but I don't want somebody to pee on me. It just feels yucky.
One of the best scenes in Girls, which you haven't seen, it's on HBO. Watch it.
Yes, I've seen that.
She's in the shower and he starts peeing on her and she freaks the fuck out. And then she runs out of the shower and he's like, you still have pee all over you. Just
gross.
Really funny.
Yeah, yeah. I think boys
have a lot. Boys, when they shower with other boys, if they're into other boys, tend to be more free flowing with their pee.
There's the proviso, if they're into other boys.
Well, you know, and part of the
problem, that did not happen. I played high school basketball and there was nobody in the shower.
Played high school basketball?
Yeah, I did. And there was nobody in the shower peeing on anybody else.
And Nate, wow. If you had a girl in the shower, would you pee? Because I think for me, part of the problem is too, I mean, Paul and I are so comfortable. It's been so many years now. But I think when you do those sort of things that take the sexuality or the romance out of it, that bums me out. Like, we don't poop in front of each other. I mean, we do burp and fart because sometimes you just do. But, you know, I think it takes some of the magic out of it. And I don't want somebody peeing in the shower with me because I'm hoping that the shower is going to be a romantic time that we might lead to doing it. Not
can't pee be romantic?
No.
For me,
what
no.
What about poop
for some
play?
People,
can't poop play be romantic?
Not for me, thanks.
Yeah. Have you ever done water sports?
No, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I'm just not.
I don't understand
on.
It.
I'm turned on by
but
other things.
There are
things.
People who get so turned on by that. I am a little bit sad this when we didn't get back from San Diego to like pretty late Sunday night. We flew back. But Folsom Street Fair was on Sunday, which for those of you unfamiliar, Folsom Street Fair is not just a traditional street fair. It's a
there's no tilt-a-whirl there.
Well, no, there is. It's just made with humans and pee and hanging on hooks.
It's made with pee.
It's like an S&M lifestyle party, and it's turned into one of the biggest festivals in San Francisco. It's fun. It's what I think people like Betty Sue, who goes to Baptist Bible Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when she thinks of San Francisco, I think imagines Folsom Street Fair.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, when it's funny, when I first moved to California and I heard about the Folsom Street Fair, you know, we live in Sacramento and right up the road here is a town called Folsom.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where
yes.
Folsom State Prison is.
And where also yes. a lot of sort of upper middle class folks live. I mean, it's basically a suburb.
Well, they have the premium outlets there.
Yeah. And I thought, that is weird that part of town hosts, you know, this sort of a street fair, and then I realized, oh
yeah.
that's not that Folsom.
Very different.
If you ever want to feel incredibly boring as a person, just go to the Folsom Street Fair and you will see things that you didn't even know A, they existed, B, that people got really into it.
Larry, my dream is for you to take me one time to go as just voyeurs, because Paul would certainly never go, and I'm dying. And if I had a good enough body image, I would, like, go naked and let you take me on a leash.
bitch, you'll be on a leash.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, hell yeah. Folsom's fun because you have to get a little bit drunk and then it's just crazy.
So, Mel, you've got a whole year to work on that body image.
I know. I better do a lot of crunches.
Yeah. But the rule now has changed a little bit. San Francisco has gotten a little more conservative, which is ironic. You're allowed to be naked at the Folsom Street Fair. However, your penis cannot be erect.
Mel doesn't have a problem with that.
I think I'm all right. Yeah. I'm good.
So, like, guys can walk around with, like, cock rings, but they can't be hard.
How... there are some women that have very large clitori that might have an issue with that. There,
you can also go to the tranny area where see lady or gentlemen who have vaginas but who are on testosterone, so their clits get like this big. I actually didn't see this part because it's not really my thing, but their clits get like this big and they have like tranny orgies.
And by this big, he just did about 2 inches of space.
I'm really good on radio, by the way.
Larry, we haven't done this in a few weeks, so Larry's not used to it.
He's been doing
a
lot of talking with his hands.
He's fallen back into other things.
Oh my God, it looks like this.
He demonstrated how to do a panoramic shot earlier as well.
Well, yeah, but people know what a panoramic shot is, so I wouldn't feel the need to go into that. I of course, am back from Vermont. Which is, as I remembered it, very green and kind
green of, mountain state
and kind of boring.
And you do look like you've dropped a few pounds since the last time we saw you, sir.
Thank you. I fully credit DDP yoga, which I've been doing for a little over a month now. I lost 16 pounds in
that's
the first
awesome.
Month.
That's amazing. So you've also changed your diet pretty well. Yeah,
that's part of the plan too. There is an advocation with that to try and go gluten-free and as dairy-free as possible. So
dairy-free, and is it paleo pretty much?
No, not really. I mean, it's the biggest thing is the gluten. The big thing is gluten.
Gluten's awful.
It is. And the second thing is sort of to try and be dairy-free. And I got rid of milk, and I did get some, when I got back, I got some non-cheese cheese, which doesn't taste terrible, but there's like 10 ingredients in it, and regular cheese only has like 3.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to regular cheese because that's the only dairy that I eat is a little bit of cheese with a few things. So
do you know what I think's crazy is how, because I do a lot of things with people that are like 18 to 24. When we were like in college, like what did people, like if you were having an event, you'd be like, oh, you're vegetarian, on like that would pretty much be it, maybe kosher depending on where you are. Now literally it's gotten so complicated. Catering is going to become very expensive as an event. Like if people,
oh yeah,
because now people, there's gluten sensitivity, there's nut allergies that have gotten very crazy. Fit, like it's gotten so much more complicated that if you have a group of 12, 18 and 24 year olds, inevitably one or two are going to be gluten-free, gluten allergy, wheat allergy, lactose intolerant. Like people have gotten so much more aware of their dietary things. It's a little crazy.
Well, and I think, you know, just by what's happened, that I do have a bit of a sensitivity to gluten. And I know as I've gotten older, like I noticed before, if I had like a big glass of milk, I didn't feel well after because I just felt bad. So there's a sensitivity there. Yeah. But I'm not somebody who's like, oh my God, I can't have that. It's got wheat in it. But it's part of the going on thing. So if you want to check that out, there are links on NateDarlingShow.com for DDP Yoga because they are, we're part of their affiliate program. So if you want to check out what they're doing, and you can go ahead and do that there.
Okay, speaking of food, I'm sorry, I have to say this. It's very concerning.
Yes.
Have you heard about the stories that have been breaking since last night?
The bacon stories?
About the upcoming global pork shortage?
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, please pray for us.
Are you going to stock up?
Like, no, literally, Adam heard on the news, and he comes in and is like, and we watched it, and he saw my face in horror, and I said, we're going to need to buy a storage unit with freezers and buy enough bacon to get us through this crisis.
That's crazy.
Literally, we're going to be out of bacon and out of pork.
We're going to get, like, we're just going to get a couple pet pigs and raise them.
Supposedly, well, it's much worse in Europe than it will be here, but still.
Well, the other thing is the price of pork is going to go through the roof. And bacon's really expensive now.
Well, there's people saying that this will, like, not to be crazy, but this might actually cause full-scale riots in Spain. Because of the austerity measures that are going in place and people's incomes dropping so dramatically and investments being gone, pork is, like, it's more so even than what beef is to America. Like, it's their state, like Spanish ham. It's what people eat all the time.
They're going to
so
need to switch to pollo.
So if it's not available,
pollo,
there's
going to
be people really upset with it. They don't have the infrastructure to support pollo. And so what are people going to do? It's like in Argentina, part of the reason the peso crashed was because they stopped exporting of Argentinian beef. And Argentinians eat more beef than Americans. And so when the beef market skyrocketed, people's money had such little power. That's why there were. That's why there was a coup.
A coup d'etat.
The Jews are thrilled with this.
I know. I still think this is kind of some kind of conspiracy like some Jewish banks. I mean, and they're like, screw that pork.
I do eat bacon, but like I've still never had a pork chop or pork loin or a piece of ham in my life.
Oh, my God. On Saturday night, we went to eat Brazilian food. Adam's never had Brazilian food. It is like a meat cornucopia. They walk around with like skewers of meat and they carve it at your table.
Fun, right?
Really good pork loin.
Oh, and I feel like the worst Jew because it's Yom Kippur. And
oh, Happy New Year. Don't you apologize it's for your
not,
sins?
Yeah, it's not. That's Rosh Hashanah.
I feel like missed my Jewish it. Taste.
But now it's Yom Kippur, and yeah, it's our Days of Atonement. And, you know,
I accept your apology.
Traditionally, you know, when I was younger, I would take the time off and, you know, spend the whole time praying. And one of my friends invited me to go to synagogue with them. And I was like, I'm going to be at work. And I just felt ashamed.
Bad
I felt
Jew.
Like the worst Jew ever.
Because this is a pretty important holiday for Jews.
It's our it? It's our biggest one.
Sandy like, Koufax missed
Christmas?
The game for it.
No.
Well, and really, Easter's the
it's your Christmas.
Christian holiday.
This is not a a celebratory holiday. So
well, no, in level of importance. I know not in level of
yeah,
comparison.
In level of importance, this is number one. This is our big Day of Atonement. 2 days, you know, apologize for all your sins. You fast. You're in synagogue pretty much from morning till night. Mm. You know, it's a big one.
Do you want to go get some bacon after this?
Yeah.
It's sundown, so it's over, right?
No, it just started.
Was it sundown today?
Yeah. Ah.
Can we go to Dobot and get some maple bacon
fuck yeah, bitch.
In the morning? While I was back, I did get to go to Montreal, which I love Montreal.
Did you have that stuff you like?
I had poutine. And
that's
And I can make poutine here because I've got some packets of the poutine sauce. In my
poutine
cupboard.
Poutine sounds naughty.
I still don't understand what it is.
It's gravy.
The sauce, it's not gravy. It's basically
gravy.
It's sort of like gravy, but it's not really gravy. It's a different type of sauce. And you get raw cheese curds, which you can get at any like natural market. And Sacramento has them. And you can get them at the farmer's market under the freeway, too, if you're in Sacramento. But that fries and you put the sauce on top of it and it's fantastic.
It's cheese fries with gravy.
It's not cheese fries with gravy. It's cheese curds. If you go somewhere and they put mozzarella and fucking brown gravy on it, that a poo. It's not even close. Are you fucking kidding me? Seriously, you might as well, you know, take part of a cow, salt it up really good, and call it bacon.
Is there gluten in...
No.
There's not?
In which?
In any gravy? Because usually they would have
Some there is. Some has and some doesn't. And like I said, I'm not, like, super militant about any of it. Yeah. It's like, if I want to have a little something, I'm going to have a little something. It's just...
I need a little snick snack. I'm going to get a little snick snack.
I'm not eating Wheat Thins. But the one thing I did in Montreal that I had not done before.
Fucked a French whore?
I did not do that, and I have not done that. I went to the top of Mount Royal, which, if you're not familiar with Montreal, it's the hill. Like, if you see pictures of Montreal from on top of a hill, that's where the pictures are from. And I hadn't been up there before, so I'm like, I want to go up there. And got some great pictures of the city. And I put them on my Facebook page, so if you're Facebook friends with me, you can see those.
Oh, that's the one with you and your friend standing at the ledge of the...
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day. And in a week or two, when all of those trees that are green in my pictures turn color, that's the postcard shot that they put on, like, placemats and all of the stuff that they sell to tourists.
Oh.
Because it's a beautiful shot. You've got foliage in the foreground and the skyline in the background. And it was really funny because one of my friends at work was like, oh, it's sort of like Sacramento. And I go, no, it's not at all like Sacramento. I go, what do you mean? And he goes, oh, you got the mountains way off in the distance. I go, dude, those mountains aren't really that far away. They're just a lot smaller than the ones we have here. And there's no hill in Sacramento to stand on at all, anywhere. But and I got back in time to see the shuttle fly over.
That was cool,
and,
huh?
So
you got really good
that.
Pictures.
I did. You can relive it through my pictures. I actually went a couple blocks from here up 20th Street. Up, it's not a hill. It's where the railroad tracks are. So just over the railroad tracks, and there were a few city workers there and a couple other people, and got some great shots of it heading over the city, and then it went up to like McClellan and looped back, and it did two passes over Sacramento. So I got, it was really very, very cool to be able to see that.
The pictures of it were real, because I was in San Diego, so the pictures of it were pretty cool. Now, it literally flew over where I worked, where our offices are in McCullen.
Yeah, that's
like,
where they turned around.
MF-er. What I do think was weird, and people in San Diego were upset, it didn't go down and do anything over San Diego.
Right.
And given the amount of aerospace research and military industry that is down there,
I think they were afraid they might upset the Mexican Air Force.
Oh, Mexicans. I love being in San Diego on the radio because you get to hear Mexican political ads in English, and it just makes me laugh.
Seems kind of weird.
In Montreal, was there any repercussions from the election? Because the woman that won is pro-separation. She wants to take Quebec away from Canada.
Well, you know, the Bloc Québécois, that's kind of their whole platform, but that's not going to happen. The bigger repercussions would be on election night, somebody tried to assassinate one of the candidates, and they missed her by a couple of feet.
Wow.
Yeah, some guy in English was just yelling crazy shit, fired off a couple shots. And it was very weird because if you saw the footage, and most people obviously didn't, but if you saw the footage, no one really knew what was going on. And then they came out and were like, everybody calm, nothing happening, not a big deal, just whatever. But you could see a bullet hole behind the podium. You could see the hole in the curtain bullet went through. And thankfully, I think there were a couple of people that were, wait a minute, I think there were a couple of people that were killed in the audience, but this would have been a huge, huge problem in terms of civil unrest if this person would have actually gotten this politician. Although, I mean, is it really any different than that nutbag who shot Gabby Giffords and those other people in Tucson?
Right.
Well, I mean,
two things about annoying me. One, listening to the press people talk about it from Canada, they're like, we're not America. We're not used to mass shootings on this level. It makes no sense. Like, are we going to have to metal detectors in order to go places? It was just kind of condescending. And two, what infuriates me a little bit about people who romanticize other cultures, one of their main platforms is that one of the reasons the guy was a little bit crazy is that the English speaking minority in Quebec feel very oppressed because one of their platforms is that everything should only be in French and not English at all. Like nothing, to the level that if like Republicans here would say that about English, people would label them a hate group.
Yeah. In Quebec, they have language laws. It's part of what they call protecting the culture, the endangered culture. So
people just call it racism.
If you've got a sign in Quebec, you need to have the French the French lettering a certain size bigger than the English lettering. And it's because French would disappear as a language in Quebec, which is what they're trying to avoid if you didn't have these sort of protections in place.
Right.
And yeah, they're not America. It's a very different place. And there's a lot of, oh, well, this is this. But there have been mass shootings not only in Quebec, but in Montreal.
Yeah, and all over Canada.
Yeah, there are nuts everywhere. There aren't as many guns. You don't have the same level of gang violence and guns that you do in certain parts of major cities in the States. But there are nutbags that do this. I mean, there was a shooting in Montreal at a college only a couple of years ago. There was one back in 1989 where somebody broke into an engineering school with a gun. I mean, it's happened
before.
There's
a huge one in the mall in Edmonton not that long ago.
Yeah.
And ironically, one of the girls that survived that was killed in the shooting in Colorado.
Yeah. So
isn't that sad?
Well,
that makes me think of that movie where when your time is up, you know that movie I'm talking about where the kids escape death and then they all wind up dying anyway.
Final Destination. All right. Well,
death was coming for her.
Now that we talk
sad.
About death, Montreal was fun, by the way. Everything was very cool.
Did you get a beret?
I did not get a beret. That's more
Did you
France.
Smoke cigarettes and wear black?
No.
In my mind, it's the same thing.
Yes, it's exactly the same thing. So yeah, Montreal was fun. I highly recommend
it. Did you read a croissant?
I know. Someone was joking with me, they're like, have you ever left America? And I'm like, I joke because it's funny.
Right. The one thing that I thought was interesting is the meter maids in Montreal are on bikes, and the way they do the parking meter system is there is a letter and numbering system for each spot. And you go to the little kiosk, and it takes credit cards and cash, or coins, and you put in your parking space and it tells if it's paid for. But the meter maids on their bicycles carry around a handheld computer, little specialty handheld computer that lets them know when the time is up on a spot. So they ride through and ticket. It's super efficient.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thankfully, we saw them like right after we paid for parking in Old Montreal and walked back. I'm like, oh, nicely done.
Sneaky.
Now, you don't want to run afoul of the law because it can be bad things for you. Like for Amanda Bynes, who...
Oh, she's going out the deep end, girl.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with her, but her management team has dropped her. Her agent, publicist...
Shocker.
...and entertainment lawyer have all gotten rid of her. Apparently, all three of them are telling similar stories. She was a dream client for years, but she became extremely difficult in the past 12 months. Some say uncontrollable. Can you say drugs? How is this anything but drugs?
Well, yes,
she's
but
on her period.
She's also at the right age for mental illness and all sorts of other things.
Right. There's something going on there. And you know, the people, somebody who's been a dream client for that long, don't you think they have some sort of at least moral obligation to go to them and say, listen, you obviously have a problem and we want to help you?
It sounded like there was some of that and she just wasn't hearing it. She just wasn't interested.
I mean, that's possible. Sometimes you do need to hit rock bottom in order to...
I mean, it feels very Britney.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to shave her head in a minute.
And Britney's back. I mean, yeah. She's so
bitch.
Right on X Factor.
Oh, yeah. So
I know.
Right.
I mean, she actually looks coherent. And she, I mean, she's always a Britney, so she's a little spacey, but like... she's there. She's
right.
Real.
I think fame makes people go crazy sometimes, and sometimes for a little while, and sometimes for a long while.
In Britney's contract, though, her writer, whenever she does an event, there can't be alcohol on any hotel floor or the one above or below it. Isn't that crazy?
Little bit. Hey, speaking of crazy, Green Day's new album is out today.
Which, problem.
There's a problem with it?
There's a problem with Green Day.
Well, Billy Joe Armstrong's in rehab because he threw a fit in Las Vegas.
You are fucking crazy.
He's going to owe the swear jar a ton of money because he just went nuts.
He thought their set was getting cut short because Rihanna was performing, and he went motherfucking crazy at the iHeart Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? iHeart Radio Music is sponsored by ever like the big radio stations.
Clear Channel.
It's Clear Channel. And so... He went crazy. Do you know it's not a good idea to piss off every radio, the people that own like 95% of the airwaves in America?
So
I guess it gets his punk cred.
It also gets his heroin cred.
Well, yeah. So the next day, you know, whether he really needed to go to rehab or not,
damage control.
Dude had to go to rehab because otherwise.
Well, not that long ago, they ended a concert. He had to go to the hospital.
Well, he lost his voice, too. Not so
what happens
long
when you do heroin in your throat?
Sure. Well, things will happen. But the new album Uno is out today, and it's on sale this week on Amazon for $5. So I went through. If you go to the Facebook group page, or if you click on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com, we get a little taste of that $5 for the CD, and I downloaded it. Good album, all in all.
Speaking of music, Kesha's new single dropped today. It's called Die Young, and it's fantastic.
I'm sure it is. Hey, you make my eyes bleed.
That's
not nice.
I know, it's not. But Dorothy Lucy used to be one of the co-hosts on Good Day LA, and she has a blog now. So this is from her blog. I get to be home in the morning now, get to burn the bagels, wake up the kid, and kick the snoring, farting dog off the bed. It's such a gift to ease into the day. I didn't initially see it that way. I did sulk for a week or three after losing my job. So many of you may have asked what happened. Well, it did involve blood. After 17 blissful, well, mostly blissful, years at Good Day LA, I got a new boss. He said I made his eyes bleed.
Aww.
Not the crusty, yucky pink eye. New guy was saying when I spoke, it made his eyes bleed. I have read that can happen after you vomit. Now I could almost see my husband saying something like that to me. After all, we're married. But from a new boss? So now I'm working on a few other projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, she's carrying on from there.
I mean, I don't know anything about her, and maybe she's ridiculous and Kelly Ripa-ish, but who says that?
Yeah, I mean, how? That's the thing. Have you ever had a boss say anything really horrible to you like that? I mean, not like that, obviously, but
the boss I have now has no filter, and she does say some pretty horrible stuff. But I know down deep she likes me at least.
Right.
She just doesn't ever edit. She means well. Horrible. She says horrible stuff because she has no editor. But
Mel, you make my eyes bleed.
Yeah. I mean, she would say something like, I mean, she tells me I'm a stupid idiot and she hopes I die, but she doesn't mean it. I know she doesn't mean it. She really likes me down deep.
Girl, do we need to talk about battered women syndrome?
Yeah, in your office, I think you'd know.
My boss slaps me, but just because I didn't clean the dishes.
I know. I'm not a good enough employee. If I was a better employee, she wouldn't have to hit me.
To be fair, sometimes you go to work just wearing nipple clamps.
It's true.
Yeah, that can get on your nerves after a while.
I didn't realize pants were required every day.
It's true.
I work better without pants, for the record.
So do I. So do I.
He stops there. You guys know who Stephen A. Smith is from ESPN?
Yeah.
I don't. Well, I do now, but I didn't before.
Okay. Stephen A. Smith, they've parodied him on Saturday Night Live. He's kind of a bombastic guy. He's a sports columnist.
To put it mildly.
Sure. He's African-American, and he says things with some energy. And don't be racist, Larry. But Stephen A. Smith thought an article about him in The Onion was real.
Yep.
How does that happen?
Because people are motherfucking stupid.
Well, people see a headline and then they react like idiots. So they posted a rather harmless, totally fictional article like they often do. And the title was Stephen A. Smith Thinking Son is Finally Ready for the Sex Argument. Because Stephen A. Smith argues. That's
about
really how he
everything.
Makes his living. Now, normally it wouldn't be news, but when Stephen A. Smith found out, he thought it was a real article and then he yells about it on Twitter.
But that, oh my God, that's just stupid. That
yes,
doesn't even make any sense.
It shows he's not the smartest bulb in the pack.
He went on a 4-tweet rant, and I will start from the beginning. I thought I had heard enough despicable lies about myself. Now there's some article out that I have a 9-year-old son and I'm going to have a conversation with him about sex? Mind you, I neither have a son nor a 9-year-old. Some people are beyond despicable. No end. Sad what extent people will go to. Amazing how folks try to tear cats down, primarily due to perceived power of the spoken word. Damn shame, but too bad. Because I don't intend on going anywhere. Really, really sad, though.
Don't you think once you started reading an article about a kid you don't have, you'd want to check the source before you started freaking out?
There are some people who are so hypersensitive,
yeah,
they do that.
But if
what
you're
a
on
ding dong.
Here's the best thing about Twitter. When you start doing stuff like that, people let you know that you're an idiot. So after a few minutes and some taunting from people, he figured it out that it was satire. It's posted that it's satire. And he then tweeted this. Ha, they got me. I didn't know it was on satire. Got it. Peeps got jokes. It's cool.
Idiot.
At least he apologized in a funny way, but still, it's obnoxious. Like, really?
Peeps got jokes.
Doesn't he have people? He should have people.
He works at ESPN, for fuck's sake. He's probably got 3 producers and an assistant. But that's the problem with Twitter, is you've got the ability to make an ass of yourself on the worldwide stage.
In the blink of an eye.
In the blink of an eye. There's no filter to go through. It's like... And I love the fact that he was so angry that his rant had to go through 4 tweets.
I am so glad I'm not that connected. Because, like, if I get mad, like, the worst I can do is an email and I proofread because I'm anal. At least I have time to come down off my freak out.
Twitter's stupid, in my opinion. Facebook forces you to engage with people. Twitter is just people screaming constantly.
No, I don't know about that because I'm on Twitter and I talk to people quite often about stuff on Twitter. So it is what you make it. I mean,
I don't understand Twitter at all. I've never seen it. I've never done it. I've never read it.
Not to toot my own horn, but Jennifer Grey did retweet and tweet me.
Well, that's stupid, Larry. You just said so yourself.
It is stupid.
Twitter's
well,
stupid.
After I won Twitter because she was
Jennifer Grey is stupid and Twitter's stupid. Larry said it.
She tweeted me and then I stopped.
I don't. I had Mikaela, who's been on the show before, try to explain to me what Twitter was, but I still don't really get it.
I really try getting into it. And I like social media. But
and I don't get the whole hashtags thing.
Well, that's just how you identify stuff. So that that's how you find like points of interest, stuff like that.
But everybody making lots and lots of them up, that's jokey or is that real?
Jokey.
It's jokey. There are some.
There's not like a big pool where you can type stuff in and it'll pull things up.
It's
like,
a way to signify an emotional feeling in a string of words.
There's that, but there's also like the NFL game on Monday night. If you do hashtag NFL and then you search hashtag NFL, you'll get every tweet that people made about the NFL.
Get Clay Matthews.
Get
Elf phone number.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So that's kind of how that'll go. But
your Maxim magazine has an article called "Think Like a Scientologist."
Hmm.
Sorry, I get distracted easy.
I'll get right on that. All right, hey, it's time for the original segment on our show. It's time for...
Cool!
Hey!
Tool.
Whoa! All right, first up in Cooler Tool, and we'll get through these quick. Amanda Bynes, Mel.
I'm going to go Tool, because I think a person in her position is stupid to let all of her people go, because they're for her safety and for her well-being, and even if she wants a different career path, she needs to make smarter decisions, and she's making herself look like a ding dong.
Well, they quit on her. She didn't fire them.
Well, I think it sounds... I read a couple different articles. I mean, it sounds like it was pretty mutual, and she didn't get new people, so she's doing her own thing without people, so...
Larry, Amanda Bynes, cool.
Tool.
Yeah, absolutely, Tool. All right, Dorothy Lucy, for blogging about her old boss, talking about making his eyes bleed. Larry, cool or Tool?
That sounds a little tricky.
I know.
That one is tricky.
I'm going to go cool because I just appreciate when people speak truth to power.
Mel?
I think I'm going to be super conservative, I guess, and I'm going to go Tool. And I think that sort of stuff, you keep it to yourself. And if you want another job, now that you're talking shit about an employer, that may affect future projects or jobs that she's going to work on, because now everyone's like, oh, she blogs about everything. She can't, you know, she's not a trustworthy employee.
Yeah, both good points, but I think...
Not that I didn't think it was amazing and funny.
Yeah, I think the big thing is it is truth, and it's something so outrageous that, yeah, I mean, but there's also the other side of it where, you know, what are you going to do? But Dorothy Lucy, she's a female on TV, late 40s. She's probably not getting another gig outside of like a home shopping sort of deal, but you never know. So,
and this, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't know anything about her, and this may just be her way of trying to stay relevant. I mean, this guy could come back and be like, that's totally not why. She didn't get her contract renewed, and that's the end of it. I never said anything to her.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go cool for speaking truth, but maybe not the smartest thing in the world. Finally, cooler tool, Stephen A. Smith, for getting fooled, then tweeting like a nitwit. Mel.
Tool.
Larry.
Oh, he's really thinking it over.
Here, I would say Tool, but I do like how such few people actually apologize and own the fact that they got played. I'm going to say Cool because he had a little bit of... He ate it up a little bit.
Yeah, he did, but he apologized like a tool. So, Stephen A. Smith, you're a tool. What? Yeah. Peeps got jokes. Peeps got jokes.
Just ridiculous.
All right. You know what? It's time for the first time we're doing this, so this is going to be fun. It's time for Gay Corner. Gay Corner.
Here. Hey, girl!
Why do we get to put the gays in the corner?
Fuck that shit.
They're not in a corner.
Let's have gay block party.
Hell yeah.
First up in Gay Corner, Toronto Blue Jays shortstop Yuniel Escobar had eye black on, and they make eye black now, which is stickers, so it's not even real eye black, but he writes things on eye black occasionally. Usually it's just stupid stuff. He wrote in Spanish, because no one who watches baseball could understand Spanish. He wrote, "You are a faggot," in Spanish on his eye black. Yeah, nice.
What an idiot.
Yeah. So nobody really knows why, but there was a press conference.
He's an idiot. That's why.
Of him apologizing. He sat out a game with flu-like symptoms, and then the Blue Jays suspended him for, I think, 3 games.
I mean, what do you think was going to happen? I mean, people in the public eye are so dumb when they do stuff like that. It baffles me.
Yeah. Well, he'd done...
And of all the insults.
He'd done something before. He wore eye black on an August 29th game that appears to have no penis written on it in Spanish. I don't know why you would even write that on your eye black. No penis. Did he have no penis? What's going on?
Yeah, like, are these the weirdest, like, threats ever?
I don't know. I think it's just, I mean, he's from another land. He's Hispanic, and he's probably very deeply religious. And
well, maybe saying someone doesn't have a penis is like cuts like a knife where he's from. It means you're not a man.
It could be. But what's weird is he's playing in Toronto, so it's not even they're not even playing in the States for all their home games. They're playing in Toronto. They're in Canada, which is very tolerant. So just kind of dumb in terms of gay corner.
He should be stoned to death.
Well, there you go. Speaking of her stone, Paris Hilton in
oh
gay corner this
God.
Week.
Oh, my God.
She's apologized. Gays are strong and inspiring now. But she didn't say that in the back of the cab. Her apology says, gay people are the strongest and most inspiring people I know.
Again, when you're in the public eye in this day and age, everything you say, someone's listening, you idiot.
Well... her apology is in response to a secretly recorded piece of audio that was released in which she was caught saying gems like, gay guys are the horniest people in the world.
True.
Now, if she would have stopped there, I don't think there would have been a problem. But she followed it with, most of them probably have AIDS. She had already released a statement trying to explain herself, but now she's issued a full-on apology, posted it on GLAAD's website, too, saying, I am so sorry and so upset that I caused pain to my gay friends, fans, and their families with all the comments heard this morning. I was having this private conversation with a friend of mine who is gay, and our conversation was in no way towards the entire gay community. It's just the last thing I would ever want to do.
Why are you doing it in gay guy voice?
And I could not... I'm putting it in dumb girl
He's
voice.
Homophobic.
Oh, so it sounded like gay guy voice.
That's your homophobia coming out, Mel.
I guess
yeah.
so.
And I cannot put into words how much I wish I could take back every word. She continued, gay people are the strongest and most inspiring people I know. Again, I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart, and I feel absolutely horrible. I hope that everyone can accept my apology and know it's not who I am or how I feel in any way, except they're so icky, gay guys, and they're getting penises put in them all the time.
Well, and part of the reason the taxi driver felt like recorded was that supposedly she was being a little bitchy or something.
What? That doesn't sound like the Paris Hilton I know.
It just, like, I don't... I understand that you can have conversations with your friends that out of context would make you sound like an awful human being.
Sure. We all
but
do.
My God.
Most of this podcast.
Yeah. All I can think of, too, is when she makes a blanket statement like, what did she say? They're the strongest and most...
versatile cockfuckers
yeah.
ever.
You just, now I'm expecting like all the childhood leukemia people are going to be like, childhood leukemia survivors are stronger. How can you say that? Now you're saying they're the strongest? How come they're the strongest?
Oh, my Lord.
Everybody's like, but what about me? I'm the strongest.
I'm the strongest.
I hate Paris.
I'm the strongest. No, I'm the strongest. No, I'm the strongest. No,
there's
I'm
a Holocaust
the strongest.
Survivor out there who's been going like, I'm stronger than a gay guy.
Right.
I went through more.
Yeah. I'm gay and I went through the Holocaust. I win.
You win.
The gay Holocaust?
The gay Holocaust.
The regular Holocaust, they killed gays because they didn't like them.
They did.
However, if you're gay and Jewish, you got to go pass. It's like two negatives make a positive.
You were Jewish?
They're like, you can redesign our house.
Mel, are there a lot of gay Jews?
I think there's as many gay Jews as there are gay Catholics as gay everything.
10%?
I don't know. I know gay Jews. I like them.
You lick them?
Sometimes.
That sounds like a weird ska band, gay Jews.
Gay Jews.
I'm going to go see gay Jews tonight. That'd be awesome. Finally in gay corner, Kevin McClatchy, former owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates,
yeah, girl.
Came He's out. Cute. I saved the positive gay for the end. He revealed that he's gay.
Is it wrong that once again I notice another really handsome, attractive man gay?
Sorry, Mel.
He's really good looking.
And rich. He was the CEO and owner of the Pirates from 96 to 2007. He acknowledged he's gay to the New York Times, saying frequent homophobic slurs he heard in baseball circles had him convinced to keep his sexual orientation a secret. He's the heir to the newspaper chain. And he sold his shares in the Pirates in 2009 after ensuring the club remained in Pittsburgh. By the way, the McClatchys are the ones who own the Sacramento Bee. He said, you're not going to solve any problem until you start a dialogue. And there's no dialogue right now, which is true. He also said, I've got a birthday coming up where I'm turning old. He's going to be 50 in January. I spent 30 years or whatever the number is. Specifically, not talking about my personal life, lying about my personal life. Larry, let me ask you this, yes. as an out gay man. If you're not talking about your personal life, are you really lying about it?
Yes.
If you're just, like, not acknowledging one way or another.
Here's something that I think straight people just don't understand. And
That's why I asked.
We actually had a training about this today at work. We're talking about, can we not play this music during this? Because it's weird.
Sorry. It's Carly Rae Jepsen.
No, I never asked for Carly Rae to be turned off. That's so weird.
And Owl City and Carly Rae Jepsen. Okay, that's fine.
Because have you heard of the hidden bias test? That there's a whole bunch of images and words and you associate things. And generally the majority population, whatever that is, people always prefer, even if you're of a minority class. And they do it for like body size, race, religion, ability, lots of things. So one of the guys, someone who I work with said, he was like, now for things that aren't visible, why does it matter that I might have a bias against someone? I don't know if someone's gay or not.
Right.
And so the facilitator, this strong black woman, looked and raised my hand and she knew exactly what I was going to say. Cause she was like, And I was like, okay, here's the thing. Because it's true. Like when I'm a member of a majority class, I don't notice my majority-ness. I don't. But when you're a member of a minority class, if I'm gay walking into a room, I'm very aware of my gayness and I'm very aware of the at least perceived heterosexuality in the room. And I know or feel that everyone there is looking at me as gay. I might not have a sign on me that says gay, but if you talk with me for a few minutes, people are going to make assumptions. I'm very comfortable with that, but I also own it. If I'm walking into a room full of people and we talk about education, I'm not going to necessarily think, oh, wow, I don't have a high school education or I just have a high school degree. I don't fit in here. I'm not thinking like that because I'm a member of the majority class. I might look at someone and maybe something they do. I was like, oh, so it's not. I think where this matters, and this comes up all the time when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was legal.
Right.
People, I think, don't underestimate how often people talk about their private life in normal day conversations. Case in point. I imagine if you're dating someone, people at work think nothing. My girlfriend and I went to a restaurant last night. You can't say that if you're trying to hide your orientation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have pictures of your family. You can't talk about your private life. And then it becomes this kind of game like you really can't talk about anything. Where if a straight person can have a picture of her husband on the desk, it's not a matter of coming and say, hey, you guys, I fucked my boyfriend like crazy last night. It was awesome. It can be Adam and I went to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like where some of that comes up, because if you don't want people to know that you're gay, you shut off that entire life. So you're not being honest, even in a real conversation, someone that you trust at work, you could be talking and say, I mean, when I dated people in the military, like this was a reality for them. Like they just couldn't ever, it was a divide and they could never talk about it. They couldn't talk about, they would go to gay bars. They couldn't talk if they played a gay softball league, even, you know? And so like all that stuff really does matter.
Two things. One is, you know, on a much sort of smaller scale, in my opinion, you know, I remember growing up, my dad always said, don't tell anyone that you're Jewish because it'll change how they perceive you.
Because we can't tell.
And with me, you know, looking at me, I'm not stereotypical, and neither is my brother.
Except for the Star of David neck tattoos you have circling your neck.
Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, I don't look stereotypical. And my dad really was freaked out that we would be judged and we'd be ostracized. And he used to take the holidays sick days and he just wouldn't tell anybody where he was or where he was going. And I still remember one of his jobs every year at Christmas would give him a ham as a gift. And yeah, every year he would take it, say thank you, and go straight to the food bank with it because he didn't want them to know.
That's weird.
Yeah. And the other thing is I as an experiment for a period of time, I had started a new job years and years ago. And when I started working there, I only called the person I was dating my partner. Just because I didn't put up any pictures, and I kept everything completely gender neutral, and I never, and people were so uncomfortable by it, 100%,
girl.
Right, because they assume that you were talking about your lesbian partner.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you know, because you know, if you can't say my boyfriend or my husband, they assume, oh well, she has no pictures up, and she never uses the name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I got to sort of feel what that felt like.
She was a hidden Jew.
Yeah.
I was closet.
I know people who I know personally that are gay, but for some reasons can't necessarily be out as gay in their personal life. They have separate Facebook accounts.
The gay one and the straight one.
Just think about how much more difficult navigating being in the closet is on Facebook. You have one friend tag you in at Badlands who doesn't know.
Oh yeah,
that was a huge, before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was fully repealed, that was a really big issue.
I inadvertently did that with somebody I work with, and I just mentioned, oh yeah, I know her wife.
Right.
What? With somebody that I worked with, and they were like, what? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that wasn't common knowledge.
I do think it's funny, like, when, so I have a friend who I'm going to try to be as generic as possible.
Sure.
Who has been a very proud lesbian. She's always identified, she's never really identified as anything. Like, she's only dated women. She was in lesbian world.
Mm-hmm.
She's fallen in love with a man.
Hey now.
And really has had to come out because, as one, bisexual, and two, dating a man. And like, how interesting it has been to see her have to reclaim because she's bisexual, but like, she didn't identify as that before. And so for women, some of her friends felt very betrayed.
So her, her lesbian friends, were they a little bit like, hey, what the hell? You're like betraying us.
Most are very supportive and want her to be happy, but some of them feel very caught off guard. I think how if a straight person comes out really late in life, like at 35 with their friends feel hurt a little bit. Like, well, why couldn't you have told me before? Not angry at her necessarily, like not Aunt Hesh angry, like, oh, you just played lesbian for a while, but like, wow. And how hard it is for her because her identity for so long has been really wrapped up in this world, and she doesn't really feel straight. She doesn't really, and like, so
she just found somebody that she's really into who happens to be a dude.
Totally. Which I think can happen.
Yeah. Oh, of course. For some people, yeah, absolutely. So,
like Kevin James could walk in and you could fall in love with him, Nate, darling.
I could.
Over your dead body.
Yeah,
I would
right.
fucking kill you. If you fuck Kevin James, I would haunt your dreams.
Well, I think you're safe, and so are my dreams.
Oh, my God. His movie comes out on October 11th, and I'm so excited because he's shirtless in his movie.
Yeah, he plays a teacher who has to be an ultimate fighter. Apparently half the movie he's just in like shorts and fighting.
A singlet. He's in a fucking singlet at one point. Like, I literally don't know how I'm going to be able to see this movie without like this is my magic mic.
You're going to have to wait till it comes out on video.
You know what? You may have to
I told Adam we're going to have to run out of theater.
You may have to put on a condom before you go in. Just to be prepared.
Told Adam, we're going to bring a blanket to the theater. We can take care of business.
Wow.
I'm sorry, my boyfriend's going to sit in front of me.
I feel dirty.
He's really tall, so I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that.
It is fast.
So anyway, he's the former owner of the Pirates is out, which is great. It's great that he's gay. But I judge him more on his inability to put a winner on the field. As the owner of the Pirates.
He got them a new stadium.
What a horrible, abject failure. They have not had a winning season since Barry Bonds left town. I think it's great. I think it's good that he finally felt like he could do that. And I think it's good because it does open up the conversation to bigger and better things. And a lot of people know that, you know, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But again, we started Gay Corner with mm-hmm. with the baseball player who had homophobic slurs yep. written on eye black. And we end it with the owner of the Pirates coming out finally, like 3 years after he got out of baseball.
Right. Well, I know of someone that is played baseball and coaches minor league and is gay. And if he literally can never come out, it would be career suicide. It's that overt. And his agent has, he's out to his agent. His agent has said, you can never come out. Like, advised him, like, come up with a different identity. If you want to date someone, like, give him a fake name. Like, he's really kind of secretive about what he does. He actually tells people he works like in sport management and like, but not for actual coaching. Because it's so, because players, and it's accepted, which is disgusting, will say, I don't want to get coach. Like, yeah. They don't feel comfortable with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of people who come from Latin America who are, I mean, they're super religious, and that's,
that doesn't make it okay.
No.
It's understandable.
Right, but you've got such an influence of that. That's why it's more pervasive than it would be in other places. I actually think that an NFL coach could come out as gay and have a much easier time of it because you're dealing with, except for the odd kicker, you're dealing with guys who grew up in the U.S. They grew up in America.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be much more able to be accepted by that.
Do you know, there are a few sports where being gay is pretty accepted, like ice skating.
Yes.
Although what's funny is so many ice skaters are in the closet. Johnny Weir, part of the reason people don't like him is he's the one that said everyone in the sport is gay. Why aren't people honest? And kind of called shit out. Like Brian Boitano makes me look like the downy dude on paper towels.
You mean the brawny
came
guy?
Came out like 8 years after the skating career. I'm like, bitch, if you skate with a sequined shirt, you're gay. I can say that. You can't because you're straight.
Oh, okay. Well, you can identify however you like. That's fine. So that's that for that. That's it for Gay Corner. Last time we did Portland, Oregon. This time we did gay.
Gay block
Portland
party.
Sucks in soccer.
The Timbers?
Their experience is great. My God, they cannot put on a winning team.
Yeah, they're down near the bottom of the standings. So yeah, Eric from Portland emailed, of course,
Eric, I love
last week.
Eric, do you want to be my bottom bitch?
and he's like, oh, I've got tickets to the real sport in town, the Portland Winterhawks. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool because I dig hockey. Hockey's a sport now.
I like hockey.
But the NHL is locked out, so. Mwah, mwah. Sucks to be me. All right, kids, it's time to wrap this puppy up and drive
Yay,
it home.
Good.
It's time for Small Town News.
Small Town News, Small Town News. Everybody loves that Small Town News.
Hey, and the Small Town News.
I haven't done that in so long.
I pretty know.
Good.
It's crazy, right? Small Town News, it's brought to you by our Amazon page. Please, if you're going to buy something on Amazon anyway, go to NateDarlingShow.com and click any of the Amazon banners or links. And you know, once you do that, you can bookmark that page so that you don't have to keep going to the site. We love to have you come by, but you do that. And then if you buy something on Amazon, we get a little tiny percentage. It helps support the show, helps pay for the costs around here to do stuff like that. So we
It'll
appreciate
help with
it.
Our Christmas bonuses.
Sure, or your Hanukkah bonuses and whatever. So Small Town News, this happened while I was in Vermont. Roger Peon, back in court. He's the 34-year-old accused of driving a huge farm tractor over seven Orleans County Sheriff's Department's vehicles. Here's what I found odd. I drove by the new Sheriff's Department. I hadn't been by there in a while. And the driveway is really kind of narrow. I have no idea how these deaf, dumb and blind assholes in the sheriff's department didn't hear this giant tractor driving down the driveway, because there's the road and then the building and a reasonably narrow driveway, and the parking lot is behind the building. So he had to drive within like 2 feet of the fucking building. That wall had to shake for this to happen. Anyway, the state has added a charge of driving with a suspended license, alleging that when he took the tractor on the roads, his license was under suspension, which is bullshit. I was driving a tractor on the roads when I was 10 or 11 years old, and I did not have a license.
Well, it may be technically
yeah,
to the letter of the law, so they figured, what the hell, throw another one on.
They're just being ridiculous, petty little dickweeds now.
I thought it was weird, and I mean, I don't know what the law is there, that he had to go back in to get rearranged on that charge, because a lot of times what we do when we amend a petition and add charges is just as the next court date, we'll give them the amended petition and arraign them at that time. I thought it was weird that they went through the whole rigmarole of having another arraignment date. But maybe it's different
Stupid.
For adults, or it's different there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was scheduled for 9 a.m. on one day, but he failed to show up. His attorney was there and said that he couldn't reach him by phone, but had spoken to Peon's father, and he said he wasn't coming in. My guess is he didn't have anybody to drive him, and his license is suspended, so he couldn't go. So the state's attorney, who's being very reasonable, asked the judge for an arrest warrant, but the judge said that he would give Peon until 4 p.m. before issuing a warrant. The lawyer then left the court, drove to Peon's home, picked him up, and brought him to court. In an interview following the arraignment, the attorney said there had been some confusion on Peon's part about his obligation to appear in court, since he already appeared for an arraignment previously, and this was an additional charge that involved the same incident. So, and the funny thing is, he rolled into court, because I saw the video of this, because it was on the local news. He was wearing sweatpants and a hoodie.
Good for him. He's a classy dude. I've said that all along.
Yeah. His supporters say that a rampage at the sheriff's department stemmed from his years of run-ins with the police. However, Sheriff Kirk Martin says his department hadn't had contact with Peon in years, you know, other than that time they tased him. And Martin is not sure why their vehicles were targeted. Peon is facing a slew of charges relating to the tractor incident, including unlawful mischief, aggravated assault, apparently upon a car, and reckless operation. He also had a loaded weapon with him when he was taken into custody. Well, that'll do it, too. He was jailed but released after posting $50,000 bail and completing a pre-existing sentence. So he's got a status conference coming up on October 2nd. So we'll keep an eye on our boy Roger Peon.
I love him.
To see what's going on. I don't know. He's a skinny, wiry-looking fucker. And I don't know that I'd hang out with him, but... like I've said before, it makes it very hard to side with the sheriff's department sometimes because they're kind of sketchy with their things. So, I don't know.
We need to wrap this up. It's longer than a movie.
Well, you kept going on and on and on about your bacon burger. See, that's what happened.
It's so good, though.
It's true. So, that's going to do it for this week's Nate Darling Show. Larry's got his iPhone out and he's ready to go and...
I know I'm not going to see you guys for 2 weeks. Don't miss me too
much.
Where
are you next week?
Next week I'll be in Oakland. I'm going to go see Slash.
Nice.
Don't get slashed.
Yeah, watch out for the heroin. So next week someone will be sitting in for Mel. I don't know who it is yet, but we'll find out. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Can't wait to hear all about Slash. Everybody, you have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
On The Nate Darling Show.
Au revoir.
Sayonara. So call me maybe. So bad, I miss you so bad. 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 So call me maybe.